What is mountain culture?
Who is mountain culture?
I am mountain culture.
What is mountain culture?
Who is mountain culture?
I am mountain culture.
We are mountain culture.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome to the first and hopefully not the last podcast for the Mountain Culture Group. It started officially, the Mountain Culture Group podcast, and I'm your de facto host, Aaron Davidson. First guest on the show is KMC and CMC Creative Director Mitchell Scott. Mitch, congrats on your very first podcast.
Thanks. You got my title wrong right off the bat.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that. What do you call yourself? You're the boss. Co-publisher with Pete Moines.
Well, we don't have any bosses. We're a self-sustaining, homeostasis-oriented organization that flows through many people.
And how long have you been the de facto, not the boss?
You said de facto twice in the first paragraph.
Yeah, yeah. We can edit that out later. Thanks, by the way, to Terry Brennan and to CUNY Co-op Radio for helping us put this together. Thanks, buddy. How long have you been doing what you're doing with the magazine and the publishing house, I suppose, that is Mountain Culture Group?
I guess Pete and I have been partners for coming up on a decade here. We should have a party. And I've been involved with the magazine as a writer and editorial consultant since the very first issue.
And how long has it been around? Probably pretty safe to say it's the maybe not North America's first mountain culture publication, but the first of its kind in some ways. And it's been, what, 15 years?
Yeah, 15, 16 years since CUNY Mountain Culture came out. And then Coast came out five years ago.
Right.
Yeah, an age. An epoch with a CH at the end of it.
That's right. I always wondered how to say that. So folks are, if you're just tuning in, the Mountain Culture Group are the folks who have brought Kootenai Mountain Culture and Coast Mountain Culture to BC, Alberta, Idaho, Montana, Washington, and Oregon, available all over the place, about 500 distribution outlets, probably at your local bike shop or your surf shop or out at one of the flagship outerwear stores near you. You should go check it out. The new issue, that being the summer issues of both publications, would come out simultaneously. The lost issues are in stands now. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the highlights and maybe even the lowlights of the upcoming issue. But for people who are wondering, mountain culture, interesting term. What's it mean?
Mountain culture. Well, mountain is quite obvious. That's a large piece of land that thrusts largely upwards into the sky.
This is a family show too.
Yeah. Sorry. And culture is an interesting one because I think for us, culture, people often think of arts and entertainment and photography, writing, all the elements of society and humanity that define who we are. And what's sort of separated or isolate different groups. But another really cool way to look at culture is growth, like a bacterial culture. So we really look at it that way, where mountain culture is really about where this lifestyle is going, how it's changing, what defines it, what it grabs from its past to apply to the present, and then move into the future. So it's a constantly changing, moving, growing, organic element that has this really distinct relationship with a landscape, that being mountains, which makes it, we think, quite interesting. Maybe a little more interesting than prairie culture. Although that could be quite interesting. We should start a magazine.
Right.
Prairie culture.
No affront meant to the folks from Saskatoon.
Yeah, geez.
Exactly.
Terrible thing to say. We're going to get terrible letters. But yeah, mountains are fascinating because mountains are changing too. Mountains are growing. They're falling. So anyway, lots going on.
Safe to say that's the reason the magazines started in the first place, because there was nobody else out there chronicling or documenting or celebrating the culture that is. There have been the National Geographics and Canadian Geographics of the world, the outsides, but why did the magazine start in the first place? And this is a question to both you and Peter, by the way, who's also sitting here off mic for some reason. We're not entirely sure why. We're going to do three podcasts right off the bat, by the way. These are going to be about 10 minutes long, and they should all be loaded on the site for your listening pleasure. But why did it start?
Well, I think I started off as a freelance writer, and Peter Moines, my business partner, started off as a freelance photographer. And I remember some of our early jams were, you know, we like kayaking and we like mountain biking and climbing and all these different sports. And we were writing for – all we saw was like we saw Powder Magazine and Bike Magazine and all these magazines that are really specific to specific – or, you know, focused on specific sports. And we just saw a lot of things going through all of these sports, as well as, like, you know, arts, music, all these other elements.
Economy, business, politics,
history,
government.
Indigenous cultures, exactly. So environmental issues. So we wanted to create a venue where we didn't have parameters. We could just go wherever. Oh, here he comes. He's just cracked a beer.
Please jump on in here. That's great.
I just got tired of pitching story ideas to other magazines and then them using other photographers to do it. So we thought, might as well start our own magazine.
That's right, right. And what was the first one? Like 18 pages long? 16 pages long? Something like that?
Yeah. We also really wanted to work with... I was often frustrated with, you write these words and you go on this assignment, you get this great photography, and then you submit it all to this graphic designer that you did not have a relationship with, and the graphic design, artistic, creative component of putting it all together is so huge that we wanted to own that too. So, and fortunately, we were able to secure Chris Rowett, who's been our designer for over a decade, and we've got a great system for how it all goes together.
Right, and Chris is probably a future podcast guest, I would think, for folks who don't. I guess the magazine really is, it's...
we should try and get him on a sat phone at Mount Logan right now.
No, has anybody seen the cover of the National Post? Is the stuck on Mount Logan, right? Was that the headline that I saw yesterday?
Oh, jeez.
And Chris, for folks who don't know him, he's the Kootenai Mountain Culture and Coast Mountain Culture design... guru, but he's also quite an adventurer. And right now, as we speak, it's in Logan, right?
That's right. Yeah, he's going for Logan with Carrie Medding and Steve Goldman. We're really hoping he comes back because we don't know if we can fill his shoes.
I don't think another design. Does anybody know how to work?
Yeah.
Anybody know how to work Adobe?
Cork.
Pete Sundad.
Nope.
No. Why is it important in this juncture? At this juncture in not only British Columbia's history, but perhaps the history of modern society, that mountain culture now has not only a voice, but someone to chronicle what's going on. There's a lot going on. I mean, really, the landscape, both literally and proverbially, is under all sorts of pressure, environmentally, politically, culturally. Why is it important that you're doing what you're doing?
That we're doing what we're doing, because I'm going to interview you too, Darren.
I'm not monumental.
You're the de facto everything for our magazine.
Three times we used the word de facto.
Very good question. This is probably a good analogy. When you get to the top of a mountain peak and you look around, and you get that sense of isolation, of almost like looking out at an ocean. You know, you can't put roads, you can't build cities. It's like it's a place that we just can't do what we normally do in the course of human development. It's got parameters. It's unbuildable. It's like the ocean.
Yeah.
And it's vast and it's huge, and you don't ever think that we can screw it up. But like the ocean, which we've somehow managed to screw up, even though it's incomprehensibly ginormous. I think that same methodology has sort of been applied to the mountains with the forests and the minerals and how much tourism we can push into it and all these things. And you're starting to see now in British Columbia for the first time ever that, you know, we are starting to encroach and have effects on our mountain environment. But at the same time, it's so important for human beings to be able to be out there, because we learn so much out there about ourselves, about taking care of ourselves, surviving. Mm-hmm. You know, we feel like animals again. We're alive. You know, we have to make decisions that are life or death, which doesn't, aside from driving, doesn't really happen in day-to-day life anymore. And that connection to the natural world is, in my opinion, the only thing that's going to save us. So our magazine is about cultivating all these different perspectives and stories about that relationship. And in the context of the world today, that relationship between human beings and societies and a landscape is more important than it ever has been.
And it, interesting to know, too, I know in the first issue of Coast Mountain Culture, we delved into the fact that there really is this mountain culture nation in and around British Columbia, which is why I suppose the magazine's now reached well into Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, Alberta. We all seem to be a very like-minded, in many ways, a very like-minded culture.
Yeah, it's actually something that we got onto quite early, and it came when we were trying to, you know, obviously we got to sell ads to keep the doors open, but we came up with this idea of as sort of pitching to potential advertisers, not necessarily, you know, everyone in magazines wants to have our demographic is 22 to 35. They spend $70,000 a year, average income, da da da, which, you know, it's like the hot demographic. Well, we skipped all that and just said we're a demographic of common interest. So,
psychographic, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we have kids that read our magazine, and we have centenarians that read our magazine. So, but what everyone shares is this interest and relationship with the mountains and the culture that mountains inspire in people and societies.
In case you just tuned in, it's not the Mitchell Scott Show. It's actually the first and now the end of the first official podcast for the Mountain Culture Group, the provisioners of Kootenai Mountain Culture Magazine, Coast Mountain Culture Magazine, and our website, mountainculturegroup.com. I've been your host, Aaron Davidson. Thanks for tuning in, and keep on clicking. Podcast number 2 is coming up next.
What is mountain culture?
Who is mountain culture?
I am mountain culture.
We are mountain culture.